In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We on?
Yes, we're on.
Well, I want to say to you, 1801. Yeah, what last happened in 1801? Oh, it was 1803. Anyway, sometime around 1800.
These could be very different answers.
So basically, Thomas Jefferson was the president. It was a long time ago, but something else was happening, which is about to happen again. I wonder if our listeners can guess.
Should we leave a gap for them to fill in the blank?
It's like the match of the day. Look away now. Basically, what is going to happen is that Brood 19 and Brood 13 of cicadas, whatever you want to call them, are going to emerge at the same time. And basically, the Northern Illinois brood, that is Brood 13, is on a 17-year cycle. So basically, these cicadas kind of disappear underground for 17 years. And the Southern Brood, which is Brood 19, is on a 13-year cycle. And basically, they only coincide every 221 years because these are two prime numbers, or not because they're two prime numbers. Anyway, they are two prime numbers and they don't occur. They don't coincide very often.
This is going to feel biblical then, isn't it?
I don't know, for the cicadas or for the humans?
Well, it's easy when you think about, because the scale of this is going to be phenomenal.
This is according to the New York Times, Dr. Shockley, right? Floyd W. Shockley, great name, an entomologist and collections manager at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History. He says it's rather humbling. Nobody alive today will see it happen again. The insects will appear in late April. He said the dual emergence would most likely result in more than 1 trillion cicadas appearing in the roughly 16-state area where the two broods are generally seen. Forested areas, including urban green space, will have high numbers. To put that into perspective, 1 trillion cicadas, each of which is just over an inch long, would cover 15,782,828 miles if they were laid end-to-end. That is going to the moon 33 times.
And back. They should do it.
Well, the cicadas should do it.
Well, yeah, lay them end to end and then form a bridge to the moon.
Now, we have a special guest to talk about this because before we introduce our special guest, according to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, during a 1990 cicada emergence, and I quote, there were reports from people in Chicago having to use snow shovels to clear their sidewalks of the dead cicadas. Shall we talk to our special guest?
Yeah, we have somebody who was in Chicago in 1990 and remembers this.
And we've had to do a lot of work to trace that person in Chicago in 1990. He's taken all of our research capabilities.
Please welcome all the way from downstairs, it's my wife, Sarah.
Hello.
So can you describe to us, do you remember the 1990?
I do.
Emergence.
It was and it's one of those things where you think, maybe I made that whole thing up. Like,
you didn't.
It actually happened. And it was just in Illinois? Because I've never been around another cicada swarm. And that's because I didn't live there after 1997. So 1990 was the only year that I bore witness.
So it looks like there are clusters. So there are definitely areas in the United States where these different broods emerge. But
so this must have been, so this was 34 years ago. So it must have been brood. Just let's get our broods right here. This was the Northern Illinois brood.
Yes.
Or brood 13.
The Northern Illinois crew.
That's a disgusting word. Crew.
So what was it like?
It was like
plague of locusts.
A plague of locusts, and it was like you felt. So I'm a bit phobic about insects. Like I don't like slugs. If you go to that insect chamber at the London Zoo, I don't like looking at the swarms.
It's a chamber, is it?
Is it not a chamber?
It's a strange choice of words.
It feels like it's a chamber. Like you walk in and there are all these rooms. And it was there's a locust room at the London Zoo where you go in and you see like they call it like tiny creatures. We have a small child. I'm not like hanging out there as a 44-year-old woman on my own. And you see and you go, that's disgusting. They're everywhere. And it was like that, but they weren't hemmed in.
Enclosed.
They weren't enclosed. It was just the world. And you would look like it would be a tree or it would be a bush, but it would be covered in these creatures. And I have sometimes wondered if that was the origin of my insect phobia. Or you'd look down and you'd see like seven on your leg. It was disgusting. And because what they do is they start out as locusts and then they emerge as the cicadas.
Really?
So you got all this. Yeah. So then the cicadas take. Like even as I talk about it, my toe just touched something, which turns out to be a pen cap, but I'm so on edge thinking about them.
Hang on a minute. Wait. I think we need to rewind here because I've not read this in any of the multiple articles I've read on this. Are you saying that? What do you mean they start out as locusts?
Okay, do you mean they start out as grubs? I wonder if an etymologist listening might take umbrage at locusts.
Okay, they start out, I promise this happens. They start out as something they're like little brown, terrifying things. I'm doing an impression. They're sort of like this.
Like cocoons?
I can't see you. Can the camera go on?
I
didn't put any makeup on, but I did dye my eyebrows last night. Hi. So they start out sort of like this. They're these little brown things. I think they move. I don't think they're cocoons. And then they come out of the shell and then they can take flight and then they're cicadas and then they're much more terrifying. But all the dead, empty shells that they've emerged from, those are all hanging out in one area, and then the cicadas are flying around with their red eyes and their wings and everything like that. It was just disgusting.
So it's a pavement covered in them.
I don't remember. I mean, maybe. What I remember is like you'd look at anything in a lawn, a tree or a bush of some kind, and you wouldn't be able to see.
The ground.
The bush.
How old and then 34 years ago?
Well, a lady never says, but I'll tell you. I was born in 1979, so you're the brain here. What did that make me, like 11?
15.
No, that's, are you insane?
Oh, sorry,
1990. This guy was in the running to run the country. Are you kidding me?
1990, sorry, I forgot.
11.
I thought it was 1994, yeah. Okay, 1990, yeah.
So I think that's also, you know, like you're really... I don't know. I just think like some real fear came into me because of this.
Did the sky turn black?
No.
And how long did it last?
My memory of it, which again is always so questionable, was it was a summer thing. Now maybe that's because I was like outdoors in the sun. Because you're saying, right, it's supposed to start in April. My memory was like it was, you know, June to August. But what if I'm lying about this whole thing? Like,
well, you're not lying because obviously like... Somebody
yeah, you
says,
said 1990 in Illinois, yeah, and I. Yeah. And then as we were talking about it, I was like, "Wait, was this a countrywide thing?" But it can't have been because when I lived in New York, they weren't around. It was
well,
there's
16 states where they seem to emerge.
Oh my God,
revolting. I feel like, don't you think we should be? Apparently, there's a book called A Tale of Two Broods.
A brood that is so gross.
Can you remember the sound of it?
Okay, let me tell you, the first wave, which differ from those that appear annually, will show up in northern Louisiana, southern Arkansas, Alabama, Mississippi, northern Georgia, and up into western South Carolina, said Gene Kritsky, a retired professor of biology who's written this book. Then it'll be central North Carolina, eastern Tennessee, and northern Arkansas, followed by southern Missouri, southern Illinois, and western Kentucky. Finally, they'll appear throughout central and northern Missouri and Illinois, northwestern Indiana, southern Wisconsin, and eastern Iowa. All told, these areas will be buzzing for about 6 weeks as the insects fly around looking to mate and deposit their eggs into slits they cut into tree branches.
Oh,
then they'll deposit into slits.
Then they'll
eggs.
Die. Then they'll die, bringing with them an unforgettable smell described by Dr. Shockley as similar to rotting nuts.
I didn't even, first, I remember nothing about an aroma, and I don't even think of nuts as having, rotting nuts as having a smell. Like,
but
that
don't
doesn't.
Do you think it's a sort of rather remarkable? I mean, I appreciate your phobia, and I hear you.
Thank you.
I hear you, and I see you.
Thank you, Ed.
As Katie Britt would say, the lady who did the response to the State of the Union, I hear your phobia, and I see your phobia. But don't you think it's rather remarkable evolutionarily thing that they spent 13, 17 years undergrad? As I understand it, part of this is there's some weird thing that they've evolved to avoid predators, and this, I know this is going to sound like a bit weird, but there's something to do with the fact that their prime numbers 13 and 17, which helps them avoid the predators.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's like the predator, because if you're a predator that appears every 2 years or something, obviously you can't sort of, you don't sort of, I don't know. It's like there's some issue to do with prime numbers.
Oh my God. When, so when you hear that, does it make you think, oh, there is a God after all?
Oh,
like there's something weirder
no,
going on.
No, I go more
or quantum
like
physics. Or something.
I go more animal feelings or something, which I don't.
Well,
even
presumably, think. Presumably, it's something to do with the fact that the cicadas who didn't like observe the prime numbers were all eaten or whatever, and then the ones that did, and apparently they come out all at the same time in order to avoid the predators. That's
yeah.
part of their thing.
Strength because, in numbers, safety in numbers.
Yeah, strength in numbers.
Classic. Wow. Do you have any interest, Ed, in seeing it? Like, would you ever coordinate a visit to that section of America so that
well,
you
like
could bear
witness? Cicada tour. Are you saying that Jeff and I should go into, like, the tourism business?
That'd be interesting. Do you have any interest in seeing it, or does the idea repulse you, I think, is my question.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to sort
so
of do that.
There'll be YouTube videos. Like, people will be putting stuff on social media. I don't
sure,
need to
sure, but
go
I mean,
there.
If the idea is, like, but there'll be YouTube videos, then, like, why do any of us do anything ever?
Yeah.
I think what I was getting at more is Ed's relationship to animals, but also, like, swarms.
I don't love swarms.
You don't love a swarm.
Did you see that... Because a lot of these things get hit by cars, there are concerns about traffic accidents because the roads are going to become so slippy with squished cicadas.
This is disgusting.
Okay, here, listen, just so you understand about this prime number. This is Hannah Fry, and she says this. There are so many of them simultaneously that there's no way the predators could eat all of them, so a massive proportion of them survive for the next generation. 13 years and 17 years are special because they're both prime numbers, which means it's really hard for a predator to have a cycle that syncs up with them. Also, they almost never synchronize with each other, 13 to 17, except for once every 221 years. There's some weird question about whether they're gonna crossbreed.
And then if they crossbreed, what does that mean? Every 400, it's like you can't go outside for 6 weeks?
I don't quite know, but it's like, I mean, maybe we've got, is it an entomologist? Is that what we're looking for?
Yeah. Or maybe Sarah's mum can report live.
Oh my goodness!
From the brood,
Lynn Barron life on the scene in is it?
True.
Are you Northern Illinois or Southern
yes,
Illinois?
Northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Lynn Barron live from Northern Illinois. Here is our correspondent. I mean, it does sound like something from the Daily Show, doesn't it? Really.
I just don't think we want to be encouraging her, do we?
No. Don't give her anything.
I do think. Can I just put in a plug though? I mean, you know, appreciating this, like, you know, as its own issues for you. I think if it happens, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to happen, I do think we want Lynn Barron to, like, make a contribution.
Okay, if that's a choice, if that's a door you'd like to open, but don't come crying to me when she
takes over the podcast and then sort of kicks me and Jeff out, basically.
Yeah, when she takes the mile after getting the inch, that's what I would say.
Well, should we free you from the release you from the chatteroo, Sarah?
Release me from the chatteroo.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
See you
thank
again.
You.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Oh my God! I mean, you can understand how people in the past would have thought this was God becoming enraged with them in some way.
I mean, it's quite—I do think it's quite extraordinary, sort of evolutionary thing. Also, why do they like bury themselves for 17 and 13 years? What do they do all that time?
I don't think they're doing much, right? Nothing interesting is probably the answer, but maybe
watching a few Bob sets,
yeah. Maybe an entomologist would
looking
be able
for,
to tell us
looking
otherwise.
Looking for TV recommendations. I mean,
but have you ever seen a swarm like this, or anything where you see like lots of one creature or thing in unexpectedly large numbers? I think is interesting. The most of anything in one place, or facts. We want facts about cicadas, right?
Yeah. Or just any more information than we can provide.
Exactly. So the email address is chat at cheerfulpodcast.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Should we get some emails?
Yes.
We've got a cornucopia of interesting things.
Why don't we start with trousers?
Yeah.
So we were talking about this last week, weren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. And also, I'm in need of advice, so, you know, yeah.
This came from Jacob L, who says, re-trousers, good morning to you both. I worked for a while in a shoe shop that sold Northampton-made shoes. Because of this, I saw a lot of trousers from a wide variety of characters. Many of these were men of your age.
I mean, that's just quite wounding, really.
What about people who buy shoes are of our age?
It's just like many of these were men of... I think men of your age is doing a lot of, like, unfortunate work.
Yes. It almost feels like the word certain is missing from that sentence, doesn't it? Men of a certain age,
yes.
Like you.
In fact, that's actually in the next sentence.
Oh, well, there you go. He says, I would hesitate before picking up a pair of skinny trousers or jeans for men of a certain age. It doesn't flatter the paunch that naturally develops for older blokes on the top of half of their body. Now, I'd say I have a considerable paunch. Ed has very little of one.
I'm working on my paunch.
Growing it?
No, the opposite.
As for jeans, I think dark jeans that are sort of monocolour without fading can look good on blokes for their whole lives.
I mean, whole lives is also doing some unfortunate work.
Other jeans should be avoided, though. They can look a bit desperate.
I mean, honestly, I mean, like, Jacob is sort of, I mean, he's not pulling his punches here. Right, okay.
He then continues, yeah. Corduroy trousers should be avoided by Ed, as he is a politician, and cords are associated with posh people, so he may look a little out of touch. Maybe if they had jean styles pockets, they'd look fine, though. You see, that isn't my association with cords. Like, red cords, yes, but I think of corduroy as very much in the geography teacher indie band. I think there's an indie band quality to corduroy that I hope I'm conveying, rather than country gentleman. And he says, all the best, your loyal listener in Chicago, Illinois. So he's about to experience the...
Yeah, he could be live on the scene as well. This one comes from Ned Connors. I'm shaking big trousers. Hi, Ed and Jeff, I'm 18. That's great. And he's listening to us. And must say, I almost exclusively wear extremely baggy trousers, including jeans, cargos, joggers, everything except formal wear. There are many reasons for this, the primary being I buy most of my clothing from charity shops as it's cheap and sustainable. However, almost everything comes two or three sizes too big, so you roll up the cuffs and wear a belt. I also think it comes down to a body thing. I'm quite lanky, so having something dangle off me makes me more proportionate. And likewise, if you're self-conscious about being on the larger side, baggy clothing is a lot more forgiving. I'd recommend both of you giving big trousers a go.
Now, this is interesting because Sarah, who has now left, she doesn't like it when I wear clothing that's too baggy because she says there's a tent-like quality to it that isn't unforgiving, that if anything, it makes you look like you're bigger and you've given up.
I just don't know whether I could get off with the baggy trousers. I think Jacob would say to Ned, Ned, it's good that you're doing it, but don't have the men of a certain age, i.e. Ed and Jeff.
Exactly.
I start wearing baggy trousers, it's just going to be like a bad fashion scene,
isn't
it? So,
young, lanky, belted, turn-ups, you're getting away with it. I don't know if Ed and I could, although I want to try and show you, I don't know if I can. I did buy a slightly baggier-legged trouser this week after the conversation. I'm standing on the wheelchair. Can you see?
It's quite hard to see, but yes, I think so.
Yep. And I'll be honest, I'm enjoying the freedom of movement that comes with
the room.
A slightly baggier leg, yes. They are roomy.
They're roomy.
Yep.
Well, what do we conclude on the trouser situation then? It's not exactly conflicting advice because I think Ned was just he did actually say I would recommend both of you giving big pair of trousers a go, didn't he? Is that really, is he just being nice? That's the thing.
I don't think I can go full MC Hammer. I can't go full baggy trousers, but I'm enjoying this roomier leg, and I think Jacob's point about maybe the skinny jeans, you put away the skinny jeans at a certain age, you wave goodbye to them.
I'm not sure why that's true, actually. Is that really right?
Well, do you still wear
skinny jeans? I think I just wear straight legs. I don't think I wear skinny jeans.
I think you go with a style known as dad jeans usually, don't you?
Yeah.
But
I'll keep you updated.
Any further sartorial advice for the gentleman of a certain age?
Yeah.
Especially from the youth. I'm really enjoying the fact that young people are taking pity on us here.
Yeah.
Trying to help out. So chat at cheerfulpodcast.com. All right. This comes from Benjamin Chadwick, who says, appreciating the familiar. Hi, Jeff and Ed. Huge fan of the pod. And I'm not just saying that because I know Ed loves flattery. See, I would usually have taken the compliment out, but I left it in to flatter Ed there.
Yeah.
Your recent chatter discussions about appreciating what we have, even when it becomes familiar, had me thinking about my own approach. I am lucky enough to live in the centre of Paris.
Wow.
I wonder which arrondissement.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite arrondissement?
I don't think I know Paris well enough.
No, me either. No. But I do like saying that word poorly. But a lot of the time...
I mean, it was quite poorly. I didn't want to say that, but now that you've said it... I think it's arrondissement.
Yeah, actually. No, but I can't commit to the French accent when I say a French word.
Arrondissement.
It's really impressive that you can, but I feel too self-conscious, which only ends up making me sound sillier.
Although, no, but to be honest, I've got no room to talk because both of my parents were fluent French speakers. For my dad, it was his first language. And my French is absolutely Je m'appelle Edouard. I mean, you know, it's just...
Oh, no, I don't think you went and lectured in Paris, didn't you?
Not in French.
Oh, okay.
In English, which I did brilliantly. I spoke it fluently.
But you didn't do it in a French accent like hello, hello.
No, I did not. Okay. No, I've got no excuse. Anyway, let's back to the main topic
All right,
here.
But he says, but a lot of the time I'm so focused on my thoughts and the ground in front of my feet or my phone that I don't appreciate where I am. To counter this, I set myself the challenge of trying to spot something new every day to make me take more notice of where I am and how lucky I am to be here. I have two main strategies. The first is that I have to walk anywhere. So he always walks. This way, even mundane trips become a little more interesting. And then the other strategy is to simply look up. Recently, I looked up at a building I'd walked past literally hundreds of times and spotted something I'd never noticed before, a three-story statue of an angel on its facade. This was enough to bring a little smile to my face for the rest
so
of the
interesting. It's yeah. So interesting. It's so interesting. I mean, you know, I'm reading this book by Tali Sharot and Cass Sunstein because we're going to interview Tali Sharot. And it's so interesting. This whole idea is so interesting about habituation.
Mm.
Well, I think we should be taking a leaf out of his book, shouldn't we?
Yeah, look up is always great advice, I think. Thanks for that, Benjamin.
I was on my bike the other day and there was a dispatch rider next to me and he stopped to admire my bike and then said how much he enjoyed Chatteroo.
Oh, well, we salute him. Did you get his name?
No.
You didn't try and force him to get a selfie with you. These people are on a very tight schedule, I think.
I was careful.
Good.
I didn't. This is from Alex Still, long-time listener, first-time emailer. I enjoyed last week's episode, particularly the part where you discussed the dynasty on Apple TV about the New England Patriots. Like Ed, I spent part of my childhood living in the US, including 4 years near Boston, at a time when the Patriots were by and large rubbish. I do remember Drew Bledsoe being their star quarterback, though. More recently, every time I tell my British friends the Patriots were my NFL team, they would groan or roll their eyes, assuming I was yet another glory hunter. Little did they know. And this is from Alex. Cheerful listener since 2018. Thank you, Alex.
He also says, P.S. I have met Ed once before.
Yes.
I work at the Senedd Cymru, formerly the National Assembly for Wales, and in 2010, during his Labour leadership bid, my boss and I helped organise one of Ed's visits there to meet supporters.
Oh, that's that nice.
It's nice to have you reunited on the podcast.
Exactly.
And then this email, I've been sitting on this for a few weeks. It's a good one. But they have requested that we change their name.
Yes.
I don't know if it's that they don't want to be associated with us.
Fair enough.
Or if it's the subject matter of the email. So which of these names do you like the best? We could go for Angela Glandula.
Did you come up with these or did they?
I did, yeah.
Oh.
Kimberly Dimbleby or Patricia Transmitter? Which
I think I like Kimberly Dimbleby.
All right, Kimberly Dimbleby, this comes
from. Yeah.
Who says, hello, subject, the worst thing that has ever happened to a phone of mine. And this is based on, you went mud wrestling with your phone a while ago.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
She says, I was living in Argentina where I was driving 4,000 metres up on an unpaved road near the border with Bolivia to see a natural phenomenon known as the Mountain of the 14 Colours.
Sounds absolutely brilliant.
Doesn't it? I don't know about going up 4,000 metres to look at it, though. Mm. Maybe I'll look for it on Google Images. The entrance was manned by two indigenous women and their, I think this is vicunas, which is similar to an alpaca. The facilities were two small sheds with long drop toilets inside.
Ugh.
I've never used a long drop toilet. She says, I'd forgotten that I had my phone in the back pocket of my jeans. And as I squatted to do my business, it slipped out of my pocket.
Oh my God.
And fell several feet down into the toilet.
Oh my God.
Luckily, given the remote location, the toilets weren't well used. So I decided to try and retrieve the phone.
Oh my God.
The women manning the entrance also got involved, and they were able to provide us with a long stick with a hook on the end.
Oh my God.
No idea what its usual purpose was, which we then attached to a plastic bag and fished the phone out of the toilet. When we finally retrieved it, I used copious amounts of hand sanitizer / alcohol gel and carried on using it for the next 2 years. It was forever known as the poo phone. The two women were highly amused, and I'm sure they told everyone they knew about the stupid tourist. Hope I've given you a laugh.
I mean, it sounds like the kind of thing that would happen to you, really.
Well, you say that. I think it's far more like something that actually did happen to you.
To me?
Yeah. It's only a matter of time before it's a long drop toilet and not mud.
It could be Glastonbury, I was thinking.
Yes.
This one comes from Robert, subject one-word openers. Hi, Bose. On the subject of one-word replies, I want to raise grievance with the one-word conversation starter.
Mm.
You know, the hi, hello, hey, hello, or what's up that people often start a message with. It opens up the conversation, requires a reply without the recipient being aware of where the conversation is going. Is it urgent or just wanting to ask a quick question? What if I'm just about to get on a tube or join a meeting? This is when you ring somebody, presumably.
No, he's talking about when you get a text message and it just says hi or hey or hello. So sometimes it's people, I think I touched on this last week, that they're trying to establish contact with you. It's a nice thing. But because they're not giving you a question or a context, they're actually giving you admin. I've noticed that some people do it instead of paragraph breaks. So they'll send you a message, and then where would be a paragraph break, they'll send you a separate message. Do you see what I mean? So your phone's constantly beeping, and you think, oh, my God, what's happening? Is it the end of the world? And then, somebody who doesn't know how to use paragraph breaks.
There is even a website dedicated to this cause. So is this, you send me a thing saying, hey, how are you doing?
Basically, yes. Yeah. And then you think, okay, what does he want? Is he just trying to soft soap me here before he asks me for a favour? Or is it like he's popped into my mind and he's sending me a nice message?
So interesting.
He says, surely it's annoying when you get a chance to respond to a, hey, Jeff, or a hey, Ed, and then the original sender is busy and you never find out what they needed. Yes, I identify with this strongly. I think this isn't something that you've encountered that much, maybe, judging by your reaction.
No. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the joy of learning piano online.
Yes, you sent me an article about this.
So It's by Simon Osborne in The Guardian. Now, what's your musical instrument situation? Just remind me.
So I can play a bit of piano. I had some lessons when I was a kid, but didn't really stick with it. And now I just look at the chords and kind of figure it out. But I haven't progressed in any meaningful way in decades.
Have I told you the sad story about my musical youth?
What, that you were in Musical Youth, but they booted you out before Past the Country was a hit?
No,
you
no.
were the Pete Best of Musical
no,
Youth.
No, my small Y Musical Youth.
Yes, you played violin, right?
Badly. The Suzuki Method. Do you know about the Suzuki Method?
I don't.
You used to have to bow and say, Ohio Gozai Imas.
To the violin?
To the teacher, I think.
Okay.
But basically, I got to the age of 11 and I said to my mum, I think I want to give up the violin. She was like, oh, thank God. I said, what do you mean, thank God? And she was like, well, you know, she said, I thought she'd be really upset. And she was incredibly relieved. I mean, I don't think I'm comparing myself to Simon Osborne, but basically, he played the piano, but not particularly well, I don't think. And he failed his grade 2 piano exam. And the reason I'm partly saying this is because it's like, here's a good thing about computers, or whatever we call them.
Technology. The digital age.
So basically, he talks about an app which can sort of listen to what you're playing and then sort of teach you to play the piano, basically.
Flowkey, it's called.
Yeah. I thought this, and I sort of thought, well, maybe I should learn to play the piano.
Do you remember when we had the idea that we were going to find you a hobby and every week you were going to try a new hobby and then see if I'm stuck? And then that petered out, didn't it?
Never petered in, really, did it?
But it'd be nice to hear from anyone who has had, I don't know, like later in life. Hobby
or of a certain age,
or anyone for whom technology like this has transformed their ability to enjoy an activity.
Yeah, but I think it's a sort of, there's so many sort of negative things about technology, and I think you sort of warned me about, you know, one shouldn't be too anti-tech.
No,
that these are sort of great things you could just never have dreamed of doing. I think if you like this thing, they can listen to what you're playing and tell you whether you've got it right or not. It just does require quite a lot of application, doesn't it?
Well, why don't we see if we can get a When the Saints Go Marching In out of you by next week?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, can I tell you something, which is, as part of our Doncaster North annual constituency dinner, we had an auction for various prizes, and one of them, which I bought on eBay, and I had to tell my constituency that it is indeed, the person who bought it, that it is indeed genuine. I bought a National Health Service Act 1946, the original National Health Service Act.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Isn't that impressive?
That's really good. Ed's holding up to the camera at the moment. It's in cellophane to protect it.
It's obviously ended up in a library. It definitely says London, published by Her Majesty's Stationery Office, 63p net. Nice. Anyway.
I'd like one of those leaflets that they sent out, you know, when the NHS was about to launch, informing the public of what it was and what you needed to do.
Yeah.
That'd be a great thing to own, wouldn't it? They must come up this time. All right. Well, I should release you into your week.
I will be released.
Have a lovely one.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.